Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and today we're going to be talking about winning the battle at the gate. And we're actually going to be doing a communion meditation around this idea of winning the battle at the gate. So what is the gate? I like to think of the gate. The gate into our lives is this middle ground. We think spirit, soul, physical body. This gate is the middle ground. It's the mind. It's the imagination. It's learning to win this battle when these thoughts of fear, of doubt, these imaginations become coming into our mind, of discouragement, of all these different things coming into our minds. When we have these thoughts coming into our minds, causing us to dwell on bad things that have happened in the past or worries about the future, winning the battle at the gate is keeping our minds fixed on God, staying in peace, staying in joy, staying in the present moment. That's winning the battle at the gate. We're going to be taking communion around this idea here in just a little bit, but I've got an excerpt from my book, The Eighth Date, that we're going to be reading about winning the battle at the gate. So this comes from my book, The Eighth Date, God's Operating System for Abundant Life. And we talk about this idea of turning the battle at the gate and communion being one of the greatest things we can use to turn our minds, to win that battle at the gate, and to get more present by fixing our minds on God and bringing the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment. So I'm going to start here from my book, The Eighth Date. It says, the battle at the gate. In Genesis 22:17, after Abraham had committed to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, God tells Abraham, I will surely bless you and multiply your offspring like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies. This promise is then repeated again to Rebekah in Genesis 24:60, and she chooses to leave her family and marry Isaac. And Galatians 3:29 tells us that if we are in Christ, then we are Abraham's seed, which means that this promise is relevant for us today. So what does this promise mean for us? And what are these gates? In ancient times, the gate of a city was a valuable place, a place where the entire city could be controlled from. Think of everything that's going on the inside of the city and everything that wants to come in from the outside. That's where they connect. That's where they meet in the middle, is at the gate. And I believe that the imagination is the gate to our lives because it's where we take our heavenly seat with Christ. The mind and imagination also represent the battleground, where Satan tries to attack. The imagination is where Satan tries to influence our choices and get us to leave our heavenly seat, to leave our positioning of being seated in heavenly places with Christ. And it's where he tries to coax us into fear and worry and doubt and discouragement so that we try to do things in our own strength rather than resting in God's grace. In our imaginations, we play out worst case scenarios and we envision things going wrong. And this is where we must turn the battle or win the battle at the gate so that grace flows. So turning the battle with communion. In Isaiah 28:6, it says, God says he will give strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. God will give strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. So it's to fight against these things, to fight against these imaginations, to fight against the tendency to get off worried about the future or dwelling on bad things from the past. God will give us strength to turn that battle at the gate. If we'll stand firm in our minds by keeping them fixed on the things above, keep our mind fixed on God being with us, on his steadfast love being with us, God will give us strength to win these battles at the gate. And the best way to win the battle at the gate is by taking communion regularly. Communion turns the battle by changing our focus. When stress, fear, worry, discouragement, or any other of these things try to come into our minds, in our imaginations, we can take communion as a point of remembrance where we stir up our memory. We stir up our remembrance of God being with us, of his steadfast love for us, of him working for our good. And communion has an amazing power to transform our imagination and our emotions by replacing negative images with the image of Jesus bearing it all on the cross and God now continually doing good for us. We have this new covenant of love. We can reprogram the images that we see on the inside. I don't know about you, but I've had some negative imaginations before, and these images, sometimes certain triggers in the environment or whatever it may be, would trigger these certain images to pop up, and they just pop up and you don't even plan on them. Sometimes you don't even know they're there, but certain cues in the environment, it could be a song, it could be a certain place, something happens, someone does something, and it causes these triggers to come up and triggers these imaginations. It could be of memories that have happened in the past or traumas we've experienced. Could be any of these types of things. And we can begin to take these imaginations, we can bring them to God and say, God, I need your help turning this battle at the gate. When these things are popping up, it's getting me into stress, frustration, worry, discouragement, sadness, any of these types of things. I need your help turning this battle at the gate. And God says, I will give you strength to turn this battle at the gate. We can bring these things to him and we can turn the battle at the gate. So communion, in our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, we talk about often how communion is the number one, we call it table turner, the number one thing that turns these battles. Taking regular communion keeps us focused on grace. So I'm reading again here. Every culture has foods that they are known for. In the kingdom of heaven, the number one meal is communion, and it can be taken daily in remembrance of Jesus. In my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, one of my other books, I presented the idea of the table turner. In the book of Esther, the king had written a law that was going to destroy the Jewish people. And in those days, once a law was written, it could not be undone. However, Queen Esther convinced the king to write a new law that turned the tables and put the Jewish people back in control so that they could attack anyone that attacked them. We see in the New Testament that Jesus also liked to turn the tables when he went into the temple and he flipped the tables over. Jesus is the table turner, and taking daily communion with him is one of the most powerful table turners that you will find in all of life. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, to be right with God, the people had to perform everything perfectly, everything correctly. And if they offended at one point, they were guilty of breaking the whole thing. But Jesus brought in this new covenant. We're going to be talking about his body and his blood. It's his body and his blood brought in this new covenant of love, which turned the tables and brought in grace. Jesus himself said he did not come to abolish the old covenant, but he came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill the law. The old covenant is still around if we want to try to earn favor with God. But Jesus turned the tables and brought in this new covenant that overrides the old. It supersedes it. It sits above it. It doesn't do away with it. It overrides it and sits above it. And it makes us right with God by simply believing in Jesus. And daily communion is the number one table turner for all of life. Communion is a symbol of our participation with Jesus. And it brings his sacrifice that he did over 2,000 years ago into the present moment and makes it relevant in our lives today. It's a reminder to trust in him because he wants to help. Over and over in the Psalms, you'll see that God says, if you're ever in trouble, call out to me and I will deliver you. Call out to me and I will deliver you. It's a reminder to trust in him because he wants to help. And the thing about table turners is that they are simple and easy, but they're often the one thing that can put us back in control in our lives. And our imaginations is one of the most important things to be in control of. And when we take communion, we can imagine the cup of God's wrath being poured onto the body of Jesus. And by his stripes, we were healed. So we can imagine this cracker. God poured the cup of his wrath onto the body of Jesus. All of his anger, all of his frustration, everything he had stored up, all of his wrath stored up, the cup of his wrath was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus, and his body was broken for us so that we could have the cup of God's blessing. And that's one of the things, most important things we are remembering. And so on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we do this remembrance and we bring it into the present moment. And the Apostle Paul tells us that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming his death. And his death was a big deal because a death had to happen to put his will and testament, to put this new covenant in place. in his body and in his blood. His death was the transition point. It marked that transition from the old to the new. His death was a big deal. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We just ask you to bless it in the name of Jesus. So then, as we take the cup, it's the cup of thanksgiving. The cup of thanksgiving, the cup of participation, and we rejoice and we give thanks that because of the blood of Jesus, we've been released from the darkness. We've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus, into the kingdom of God's dear son, into the light. And we now have an invisible partner who's working for our good. God's given us this covenant of love. He's promised to give us his steadfast love. He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do to help you. I've given you my kingdom, my spirit, my mind, my wisdom, my love, my peace, my joy, my energy, my time, my presence, my finances. I'm giving you everything I have, and I'm putting it in Christ for you. I'm giving you this covenant of love. And our role in the covenant is to walk in love with other people, just like God is doing for us. Give them the same grace that he's given us. And so communion is this amazing opportunity to stir this image. Jesus, the cup of God's wrath poured onto the body of Jesus. And then we can give thanks and rejoice that God's given us this covenant of love. He's given us everything he has, and he's working for our good continually. God is on our side. We have the cup of blessing. And so after supper on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins, poured out for many. Love gives, love pours out. Jesus poured out his life unto death to give us this new covenant. Forgiveness of sins, being made right with God. God is with us and for us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And to help us win these battles at the gate. Proverbs, I think, 2:7 says, God has victory in store. To help us win these battles at the gate and give us victory. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory in Christ to win and turn these battles at the gate so that his grace flows through us. And we stay filled up consistently. We pour out his love through us to the other people around us. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup. And we thank you for what it represents. And we ask you to bless it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to keep reading just a little further as we go. So taking communion regularly, I say in the book here, every evening, has the potential to completely transform our lives. When Jesus instituted communion, he did so on Passover, which was like a big communion meal. Therefore, taking it every evening is one of the most powerful ways to get grace flowing through us. And it helps us to abide in him so that we produce fruit. At our house, personally, we keep a box of matzah crackers and either grape juice or red wine always on hand. And we usually take communion every night with dinner. And in addition to this, you can also take communion when issues arise, when there's this battle coming at you in your mind. We can begin to take communion as this point of remembrance and a point of turning the battle at the gate. It can create a turning point in our life. So in addition to every evening, I'm reading from the book again. In addition to every evening, communion can also be taken anytime we get attacked in our imagination. For example, when financial worries arise, you can take communion as a way to stir up the image that God supplies all of our needs and bring the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment. When health issues arise, you can take communion to stir up the image on the inside that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed and the glory of God now lives in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and will bring life to all your flesh. When family issues arise, we can take communion as a way to release faith that God is helping us love our families through grace and that God has promised to make our families great. Check out Isaiah 61 for promises about that. When making plans for our future, We can take communion as a way to stir up the image on the inside that God is with us and helping us. Whenever our mind or imagination are under attack, we can take communion as a way to stir up the image of God working for our good and being one with Christ. Communion increases our awareness of God's presence with us, and it turns the battle, allowing grace to flow. Now, one of the biggest things that communion does is I call it creates a point of contact. Now, we think of contact. Think of this as the midpoint. Think of we're going to get into an example of a baseball player, a hitter taking a swing and hitting a pitch. Right where he makes contact, that's the midpoint. God's got all this stored up, and we're going to release it at the midpoint, but then we've got to focus on finishing high. And so we're going to focus on following through after this. So I'm going to give a story about the point of contact real quick, and then we're going to talk about finishing high after we take communion. So I was once giving a baseball lesson to a 10-year-old with whom I'd been working for a few months. I used to play and coach college baseball. And so I was giving a baseball lesson to a kid. And as we were going through the lesson, I noticed how much his swing had improved. But as we were hitting, he started to struggle. He started to hit every ball straight into the ground. And after several swings like this, we stopped and we began to make a correction. I knew exactly what the problem was, and I showed him how to make the adjustment. The problem was at the point of contact, he was releasing his hands too early, and it was causing him to hit every ball straight into the ground. So we made a quick adjustment, and when we were done, he proceeded to hit about 20 of the best balls that he'd ever hit. And no longer were the balls going straight down. The balls were going on a nice trajectory, going out in a line drive. They're going to be line drives, maybe even home runs. So sometimes just a small adjustment. Everything else in his swing was good. Just a small adjustment at the point of contact made all the difference. So the point of contact is a spiritual principle. I didn't realize it at the time, but later I came across a book by Oral Roberts called How to Find Your Point of Contact with God. Needs and issues and thoughts and imaginations are coming into our minds constantly. They could be thoughts and imaginations, financial needs, health needs, relationship needs. When the needs arise, they become a point of contact where we got to contact them, we got to encounter them and handle them with faith and with trust, relying on God's grace flowing through us. And so every point of contact, everything that we do and that we encounter is either a point of contact that allows grace to flow, God's grace and power to flow, or we attempt to meet our own needs. And how do we do this? We put the pressure on ourselves, or we put the pressure on other people for them to make it happen, or for us to make it all happen and win the battle in our own strength. And this is learning to turn the battle over to God and say, God, this is your battle. Give me the strength to turn this battle at the gate and to meet it and to change the trajectory of the situation. Once we win the battle at the gate, and we take back control of our imagination, God's grace begins to flow through us. But it must be carried through to the point of contact. Just like a young hitter releasing his hands early, we can also take God's hands off of things too early at the point of contact, because we try to do things in our own strength often. And so once you have taken communion, think of this like a point of contact. The moment we take communion, it's turning the battle at the gate. But then we got to follow through. We got to finish high. How do we do that? Love. Keep our minds fixed on this covenant of love. Keep your mind fixed that God's grace is with you. His presence is with you. And he has steadfast love for you. He's given you this covenant of love. And love never fails. And then in our own minds, we can stay fixed. Keep our minds fixed and focused on God's steadfast love for us, and let that flow through us to better love the people around us, because faith works through love. So fix your minds on God's love, his steadfast love for you. Turn the battle with communion, and then stay focused on his steadfast love being with you, his love being shed abroad in your hearts, and let that flow through you to better love the people around you. And I believe if you'll turn the battle at the gate, you can turn it with communion. You can turn it by getting more aware of God's presence with you, bringing Jesus' sacrifice into the present moment, and then finish high by keeping your mind fixed on God's steadfast love for you and letting that flow through you. I believe that you'll successfully win the battles at the gate. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you want to learn more about this, or partner with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.